Alex, I believe I have reached the equivalent of nirvana.
Tell me more.
Well, I have been sleeping on my cozy earth sheets.
Wow.
And when I get up in the morning, I put on my fantastic jogger suit.
Yes.
Which is a funny way to put it, but you started saying that, so I'm just going to keep on going. And it is opening my mind to things I didn't know I could open my mind to.
Casey, all I have to say is, welcome to the other side.
It's incredible, Alex.
I've lived two lives. One of them is before Cozy Earth, and one is after.
Which is right now.
That's right. We're talking Cozy Earth. They make incredible, soft, lovely, temperature-controlled bedding and cozy wear.
Cozy Earth makes the best clothes I think I've ever touched, that have ever touched my skin.
Casey, I'm right there with you.
It's soft, it's breathable, it's temperature regulated, it looks good, it feels good, which makes it good.
And how about this for good? All of their products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So if for some completely batshit reason you don't love these sheets, you can return them.
Now, Alex, right around the corner is Mother's Day. If you haven't already done something, which you should have,
yeah,
now's your moment. Go buy your mom some Cozy Earth, because it is the thing that will help her sleep at night. It's the thing that will help keep her comfortable at all moments of her life. And that's what you want for your mom.
So she isn't up all night thinking about what a disappointment her children are.
Exactly, because they didn't get her Cozy Earth. You don't want to be on that level.
Well, Casey, here's some exciting news. All Completely Arbitrary listeners get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. Again, that's promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, for 35% off at Cozy Earth. So get yourself cozy. Get your mom cozy. Hell, get your dad cozy and your friends cozy.
Yeah, it doesn't have to stop there, you know?
Make the earth cozy with Cozy Earth.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Ready?
I think I'm ready, yeah.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Alex Croson, and I'm alongside...
me. I'm Casey. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Case.
Hi, Alex. I'm Casey. I'm here, host of Completely Arbitrary, the podcast. Excited for this episode.
It's a good time to introduce ourselves, reintroduce ourselves.
Yes, if this is your first time, this is Completely Arbitrary. We're a podcast about trees and other related topics. What we mostly focus on is the silliness of the world, along with some scientific facts. 70% of the time, what you hear from us, you can say to someone else with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
As a fact.
30%. You might want to Google.
Yeah, Google. Just give it a quick, let me check that.
This is what we do every week. This is about as good as it gets.
This is as good as it gets, everyone.
Goodbye, new listeners.
We will see you later. Oh, Alex, today we're not going to lose any listeners. Today we are going to get a whole slew of new believers in this tree.
Wow. Well, before we get into our tree, Casey.
Yes.
A little hot off the press here.
Exactly. Christmas just ended.
We just celebrated Christmas.
I don't know what you were going to say.
Why did you jump ahead of me like that?
I didn't know where you were going to go.
That's
sometimes
where I was going
to
go.
Oh, you were.
Yeah.
Oh, usually I try to guess something random. I know you hate this, but I also enjoy it. You're like, well, Casey, we have news. And then I usually try to say, that's right. And then say some crazy, absurd thing that makes no sense.
Well, thanks for doing that, I guess.
Dang it. All right.
Today it was true. We just had Christmas.
Yes.
You and I both celebrate. And we both had a good Christmas.
Yeah, we sure did. Yeah, you spent some time with it was a whole new kind of adventure, I think, for both of us.
That's right.
We had new traditions happen.
Do you want to give a quick overview of your holiday?
I will. My sister lives in Mill City. It's a very, very tiny little town way out in the middle of nowhere. And usually we would do the same thing that we've done since I was a small baby child. Mm. We'd always start at my mom's house. We'd go to my grandma's house and we'd go to my aunt's house. Then we'd be done.
That's a lot of going. That's a lot of moving around.
Yeah, it's a lot of moving around. It was never, I think it was just like, well, we got to see every family on this day. And it was just an easy 1, 2, 3 kind of thing. So this year there was a huge snowstorm or ice storm, more specifically. And so instead of, so my sister had this big crazy plan to drive an hour and a half in on the 24th, see somebody, then go from there, wake up at my mom's house, then drive to my grandma's house at 10 o'clock in the morning, at 11 o'clock in the morning, drive down to Mill City, another hour and a half away, do something with her boyfriend's family. And then they have a kid together, so they were all going to drive back over to my mom's house again. So it'd be like 5 hours of driving there and back again in 2 days. Mm. And then you meet over at my aunt's house, and it was just like a whirlwind. And I was like, you shouldn't do this. Everyone was like, you shouldn't do this. And she was like, I'm doing this.
Wow.
Then the ice storm happened, and she's like, I'm not doing that. And so we ended up having a lovely, like, kind of a late morning. The latest of all the Christmases I've ever had. Usually get up really early. Mm. And as an adult, I'm not as like, oh, yeah, get up at 6 in the morning sure. and like go down and open presents. Now I'm just kind of like, this is going to be fine.
Yeah.
I am okay with having a nice slow coffee morning, yeah. get some food, chill out. Then, of course, we went over to my mom's house really quick, went to my grandma's, went to my aunt's, and everything was very well paced.
Good.
It was really nice. Got to spend it with family, give some gifts, got some gifts, had a nice prime rib dinner.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah, it was very good. It was very lovely.
Wonderful, Case.
Yeah, what about you? You want to share?
Well, yeah, I do. I for the very first time in my life, I spent Christmas with and Christmas Eve with my partner Lily.
Yes.
It was fantastic. I've talked a little bit about on this show about my mother passing away about 6 years ago, right around Christmas. So I for the last 6 years I have not had great feelings toward the holiday.
Yeah.
And it's been very hard, and usually every Christmas I'm like miserable and panicky, and this Christmas was a huge exception to the rule.
That's so good to hear.
I had a fantastic time. I spent it with Lily and her family in their beautiful like lodge-like home with their 20-foot Christmas tree. No
oh
joke.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah, for real. It was I believe it was a noble fir.
I don't even live in a place that has 20-foot ceilings.
Right. It was a huge fucking tree.
That sounds awesome, though.
And it was just like so full of love, and we played games, and we had delicious German food.
Yeah.
I felt like I grew closer to my partner, and vice versa, and it was just really nice being a part of this big, you know, happy, sweet family. Yeah, you know, I think if I would have gone to Christmas with my family, it would have just felt like I was repeating the same pattern.
Yeah,
you know, and like not breaking out of that sort of like traumatic pattern.
Yeah.
So doing something completely new, completely different with somebody who's very, very, very special to me.
Yeah,
was just like a fucking joy, and I had a great time.
That sounds lovely. It really does.
Thank you. Yeah.
The reason for the season.
That's right, Casey. There is also a treason for the season, and that treason today for our last episode of Treason's Eatings.
Yes, that was a fantastic segue, I have to say.
I kind of bull rushed through it, but
I think it worked. But I think that was okay. I really feel good about it.
Thank you very much.
I really do.
I feel okay.
Okay.
Today's tree is the quince.
This is the quince. Everyone knew it. We told you about it already.
That's right. But if you hadn't heard, we're doing the quince today. It's a fruit tree. Very excited to get into it. There's a lot to talk about here, and there's a lot of kind of a sordid history.
Yeah. Yes. I don't think I don't know if this has a moral distaste, morally distasteful history. In fact, it probably had a morally tasteful history, Alex.
Interesting.
Now, before we get too far down this road, I would like to read a poem. May I?
Yes. However, I was wondering if we could maybe trade stanzas.
Oh,
so that I have something to do for the next 2 minutes.
In fact, of course. So here's what we'll do. Alex, I think I'd like to start this episode by us reading a poem. Would you join me?
I'd be pleased to, Casey.
Wonderful. Shall I begin?
Yes.
This is The Owl and the Pussycat by Edward Lear, written in 1870, published in 1870. The owl and the pussycat went to sea in a beautiful pea-green boat. They took some honey and plenty of money wrapped up in a 5-pound note. The owl looked up at the stars above and sang to a small guitar. Oh, lovely pussy. Oh, pussy, my love. What a beautiful pussy you are. You are. What a beautiful pussy you are.
Oh, my word. Pussy said to the owl, you elegant fowl, how charmingly sweet you sing. Oh, let us be married, too long we have tarried, but what shall we do for a ring? They sailed away for a year and a day to the land where the bong tree grows, and there in a wood a piggy wig stood with a ring at the end of his nose. His nose, with a ring at the end of his nose.
Dear pig, are you willing to sell for 1 shilling? Your ring, said the piggy, I will. So they took it away and were married next day by the turkey who lives on the hill. They dined on mince and slices of quince, which they ate with a runcible spoon. And hand in hand on the edge of the sand, they danced by the light of the moon. The moon, they danced by the light of the moon. Isn't that sweet?
You know what a runcible spoon is?
No, what is it?
It's a spork.
Oh, well, hey, that's pretty good. Do you know what a bong tree is?
A marijuana plant?
It's not the plant. It's actually where the way you smoke the marijuana plant, you have to go to another tree to get the bong.
I see. Yeah, what is a bong tree?
I had to look this up just because I was like, what is that? This is a tree podcast. We can't just leave that question unanswered.
Of course.
Apparently, it's Nothofibi umbrellifolia.
Wow.
I'm sorry, umbelliflora.
Okay.
And it's an evergreen tree in the Lauraceae family, which is, it grows in like the Vietnam, kind of South East Asian area,
okay,
from what I understand.
Yeah.
There's very much not a lot of info on it.
Well, we might have to change that and have an episode
on it. We might have to change that. Welcome to Completely Arbitrary. Today's tree is the bong tree. Oh, gross.
Casey, I can only assume that we read that poem for a reason.
Because I needed to say, oh, lovely pussy, oh, pussy, my love, 3 times.
It's going on my Valentine card next year.
Honestly, the 1800s were a different time.
Boy, were they.
This was a children's poem.
Yeah.
I love it. Back then, there wasn't the same terminology. Either way, it's fun that back then they're like, oh, yeah, send this poem to the children.
I think there was the same term. I think this is probably a joke.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's probably like maybe kids can get away with saying this thing.
Oh,
you know?
I see. Mr. Edward Lear.
That's my interpretation.
You sneak. No, Alex, what do you think? Why did we read that?
Well, I happened to notice that the pussy and the owl? Yeah. Ate. For their wedding feast, they ate mince.
Yes.
And which is ground beef.
I think so, yeah. Or any, I think.
Ground
meat. Yeah, ground meat, yeah.
And slices of quince.
And slices of quince. That's exactly right, Alex.
And I feel that quince is maybe a little out of fashion today.
It is.
I think I've seen it in stores maybe like twice in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Right next to 30 varieties of apple.
Oh my God, Alex.
So
well said.
And I believe, well said. I believe it's a poem, no?
It is. It's a poem, yes.
Okay,
that was a poem that featured a poem.
Very good, Casey.
And you're exactly right. You're spot on. It's a fruit that in 1870 was well known enough, not only that you would know what it is. So right now, if I say quince to, you know, one out or for 10 people, I would be willing to bet that there's going to be like 5 don't know what a quince is.
Sure.
Like they couldn't imagine it in their brain. They couldn't pick one out of a lineup. So yeah, it's traditional back then to where if you were getting married, quince would be an important part of your marriage celebration.
Okay, as a tradition, sort of metaphor.
Exactly. Okay. So the entire kind of mythologic history and actual history of the quince, the fruit, ended up having like this. How do I put this? It was usurped, Alex.
A usurper among us?
There's a usurper among us, and it's everywhere.
Is it Robert Baratheon?
It is not Robert Baratheon. Oh, yes. Phew. Yes. I'm sorry. Was he the usurper, or was?
Yeah.
Did he also call someone else the usurper?
Well,
I guess, yeah. Both of them would be.
He is a usurper.
Dang. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
He usurped the Mad King.
That's right. And anytime someone called him that, he would go into a rage.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember this.
Don't say the word around Robert.
Yeah. Everyone, ixnay usurpye. Just keep that done. Yes. So there is a usurper among us.
All right.
That usurper, and I'm going to just couch this really quickly just because I just want to make sure that everyone's aware I am biased, and I'm going to stand by my biases today. I'm talking about my belief in that there is a usurper among us, that usurper has placed the quince into a similar spot as, how about this, Jon Snow, who is actually a Targaryen, but has been placed into this weird netherworld of, you actually don't matter, everyone else is more important, and you suck, and you know what? I'm going to stand on your shoulders and be the thing that everyone loves and cares about, and no one's going to even know your name.
Who is the usurper to Jon Snow in that scenario, character-wise?
Oh, character-wise? Oh, this is a hard one. I guess it would be probably Robert Baratheon, because the Starks hid away Jon so that he didn't get killed, because that's also his nephew.
Is that canon to the books?
Oh, no, it's not necessarily.
Oh, this is the
show. But everyone's pretty sure it's canon to the books.
Oh, right.
But I'm not 100%. I can't say yes.
Okay.
Maybe it'll change. George R.R. is, you know, out of this world. But basically, in our world now, the Jon Snow of fruit is the quince.
Okay.
And the Robert Baratheon, who is trying to find the Jon Snow of quince, or rather, who's just trying to keep it down, the apple.
I hate to fuck up your metaphor.
Yeah, it's a bad metaphor.
Should Daenerys Targaryen not be the quince?
You know, that's a good question. You know what?
Casey's.
We're going to take our entire thing away. I'm going to stick with Jon Snow.
That was the most ponderous look I've ever seen you make.
I really needed to think about it. Our metaphor sucks here.
No. We'll stick with Jon Snow.
Either way, it's very challenging. The reason being, and this is what we're going to talk about for the rest of the show, once we talk about how to identify this whole thing,
yeah,
is that in history, the thing that we think of whenever anyone says apple probably, in fact, was a quince.
This is huge news.
It's huge news. And now today, we say to ourselves, oh, this, that apple.
Yeah.
When he was very likely actually a quince this whole time and has only recently been like exchanged. Its identity has shifted entirely, and now we just completely forget about it.
Yeah.
So it's really like if Jon Snow and the Targaryens were like hardcore, like they ruled everything, and then something came in and basically slowly changed, but there's a couple people who are smart about it, and they're like, Jon Snow, you're not a real Targaryen. And they just like just pushed them down, rewrote the entire history of the world, took all the names out of it, and now retranslated it. So instead of saying Targaryen, it actually is Baratheon or whatever it is.
Right.
So now, this may seem like a far-fetched idea, but
what else are we here for?
What else are we here for, Alex?
Hit us.
The apple has been translated into history as far back as you can imagine, and that translation, the minor little translation errors, are enough that now, whenever we think of the Garden of Eden, whenever we think of Hercules, whenever we think of Paris and what started Troy, that mythical, the Battle of Troy, you know, the Trojan Wars, right now, when we look back, we think apple. It wasn't. It was a quince.
Are you telling me that there is a long-standing historical and cultural conspiracy, a revisionist history to erase the quince from its important stature and replace it with the apple?
Yes.
More after the break. We'll be right back with Completely Arbitrary. What a great tease.
Oh, people are going to freak out.
You know, here I am at the ripe old age of 35. And one thing that has become really important to me just over the last couple of years is privacy. Besides what I tell you here on the podcast, I basically don't want anyone to know anything about me unless I choose to tell them. And one way I up my privacy game is with NordVPN. Now, if you are like me and didn't know what a VPN was until a couple of weeks ago, let me tell you, a VPN is a virtual private network. And I said to myself, well, sure, that sounds cool, but I really don't know what it is or does. And then the moment I turned it on, I said, I get it now. A VPN changes your IP address, hides your virtual location, and encrypts your connection, which allows you to increase your privacy online. How many times per day do you get scam calls or spam email because your data got leaked somehow? I also get emails from companies saying, hey, I see you bought something with us recently. Unfortunately, we got hacked and your data is now being used to harm you. With a VPN, you do not have to worry about any of this. It secures you when you're using public Wi-Fi. It stops marketers and internet service providers from tracking and collecting your browsing history and your messages and lots of other private data. And you can change your location to any of hundreds of countries, unlocking the power of, I don't know, say, British Netflix. I didn't know how important it was until I started using one. That's the truth. So if you just want to check out the features and see if it's right for you, I bet there's something about a VPN that will surprise you. So get started with NordVPN at nordvpn.com/trees. That's nordvpn.com/trees. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. And the link is in the description. Now go get secure. Hey, let me ask you this. You ever taken a walk and just felt inspired? Maybe you discovered your new favorite restaurant, or popped into the library and found a book that you really wanted to read, or you're like, hey, I think this car dealership used to be a Taco Bell. Well, there's a podcast about this kind of thing now with comedian and actor Alan McLeod, one of the funniest guys. It's called Walking About. It's a new podcast that treks into the simple joy of walking and its connections to health, history, creativity, and of course, community. In each episode, Alan invites a friend to share a little stroll and see where the sidewalk takes him. Alan McLeod has guests including Mike Mitchell, Spoon Man, Spoon Nation for Life. You got Colton Dunn. You got Janet Varney, Eva Anderson, Whitmer Thomas, Gabrus, Ed Begley Jr., Catherine Spears, Andy Richter, and of course, Burger Boy, Nick Weiger. Some of the funniest people. You know this podcast is going to be an absolute hoot. Maybe you could even listen to it while you're taking your walks. So lace up your podcasting shoes and listen to Walking About, out now, wherever you get your pods. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Completely Arbitrary.
That was the most country song you've ever sang.
I believe that's the theme to Welcome Back, Cotter.
Oh, I don't...
That show with John Travolta.
Ah, yeah. You know, John Cotter. Yeah, well, yeah,
Johnny,
yeah, yeah.
T.
That's right, that's right.
Well, Casey, we were talking about the quince.
Yeah.
And before we get into this big, sordid history.
Nice.
Let's imagine that you and I know the cousin of the quince, the apple, it hails from Kazakhstan.
Yes.
Which is like middle Western Asia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fair.
So let's, I'm assuming that the quince grows there as well.
It does. It does. In fact, if the quince is kind of the southern bell of this area, uh-huh, in the Caucasus Mountains, and up further north and a little higher in the mountains are the malus, are apples.
Okay.
The ones that we think of as actual apples today.
Okay. Well, let's imagine that you and I are strolling through the Caucasus, a couple of Caucasians, you and
yeah,
I.
Yeah, there you go.
And we come across some quince trees. Casey, let's ID this tree.
Well, I'm glad you asked. So the first thing, I'm just going to put this out here right now.
Wow.
If we did stroll across it in this situation, likely it would be a shrub because they generally will create little thickets of themselves.
Wow.
With little sprouts and like multiple stems and things like that. So they create this kind of like, same thing as like a hawthorn. Generally,
I was about to say.
See, you get it.
I usually hate when people say, I was about to say, yeah.
Well, yeah.
But this is, in this case, it's very true.
I suppose as long as you don't just like say, oh yeah, you know, so that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
not what I'm doing here.
Okay.
I was excellent. Going to suggest that it sounds like a hawthorn.
You are perfectly correct.
Okay.
Your suggestion, your intuition, spot on.
Thank you so much.
Of course. So that's what they do. However, if we were to find them growing in a place where they were planted, generally you would find them as a single-stemmed small tree.
Okay.
Also somewhat a la a hawthorn, but I would say they're even shorter than a given hawthorn.
Mm.
Hawthorns maybe about 20, 25 feet. You'd be like duly surprised if you saw 20 or 25 foot tall quince.
15 maybe?
That's 10, about it.
15?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
And if you go to...
Like a small apple tree.
Exactly,
like an
yeah.
orchard apple tree.
I would say exactly right. An orchard apple tree, but funny thing is you don't need to necessarily see... you don't need to prune this to stay small. Apples, if you give them the chance, they can get up to 30 or 40 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
Especially the varieties we have now that have like big wood and they don't kind of resprout from a lot of things like crab apples would.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a good malus, a good apple tree in an orchard, if you just let it go and give it some time, it could be pretty huge.
Okay.
So this guy does not do that.
Okay.
It stays really kind of low and kind of wide. So it gets at least as wide in terms of a crown as it does get high.
Okay.
That's a good way to phrase that.
Yeah.
It goes over to where the bong trees are and it gets a little higher. But they're actually like, they're these really gorgeous trees. And if you get to, if you go check out our website and go to our show notes, there's a thing that's at the top of every one, we do the name of the plant, which in this case is the quince Cydonia oblonga.
Right. Cydonia oblonga.
Of course we're going to be talking about, Alex. But the thing is, click on that link and it goes to Landscape Plants from Oregon State University.
Yeah.
And there's a beautiful, beautiful picture of one that's on the campus there at Oregon State. And it's got three or four main stems that kind of come up and curl around. Like it looks like a fake kind of painting.
Wow.
And then it has this beautiful white flowered canopy with these very like brand new little lime green leaves that are just coming out. And it just looks like this perfect little pillow of a canopy.
It looks very much like a dogwood.
It does. It has a dogwood appearance from afar, for sure.
An eastern flowering dogwood.
Yes. Yeah. Any one of them. Yes. Specifically, you're right, because that has more of that shape where it comes out. But this one has the white flowers, which is most common. I should also correct myself. More common to have a white one. The pink ones are varieties that we've groomed.
Right.
So it's just like this beautiful small tree that you can generally grow up and let it become a tree size kind of thing. But like I said, if you're finding it out in the woods, you're likely going to see one that is more of a hedge kind of a bunch of sprouts and a little kind of thicket of itself.
Okay.
So you get closer and you say, okay, it's beautiful. It has these alternately arranged leaves that are very apple-like. They have a little bit of a rounded base. They're kind of simple. They have nice entire margins. They don't have any real intense serrations, anything like that. Little bit of hair on the bottom, nothing too crazy, and they are very much darker green apple-like leaves on the top, a little bit lighter green underneath.
They have that great thing that I love.
Yeah.
Their margins are like bright green.
Yeah.
And they look like they have a little cartoon outline.
They do. Yeah. Honestly, I see them like they kind of fold up a little bit.
Yeah.
When they're like really nice and happy and healthy. And that to me is what does that. Like I don't even know if the color really changes. I think it's just at that point, the color is like, it's like a little more see-through, or it has like, instead of just the top and the bottom of a leaf, you now have that side of the leaf as well, as it goes and like curls around from top to bottom.
Which is kind of similar texture to the bottom, texture and color.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it looks almost like it's outlined and glowing a little bit, right?
They're really attractive leaves.
Yeah, they really are. So they're fantastic little trees. Their leaves are generally, I would say, a little bit bigger than you'd expect for an apple. So that's one good way to take it apart. But they have like a very classic, a very classical appearance, which I think is germane to our subject here.
Very apt, Casey. Yeah. I want to talk about the bark because...
Oh my God.
I would expect utility bark.
You would expect.
But... I would be so wrong.
You'd be so wrong.
This bark is gorgeous.
It really is.
It's got that great like camouflage look.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That we see in what else?
The stewardia?
Yes.
Has bark like this?
That's right. It's got stewardia bark.
It does. It has what everyone wants, say, the London plane tree to look like, but it's way nicer than the London plane tree. It's very camouflage. I think that's a perfect descriptor for it.
Yeah, like high fashion camouflage.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. With like, you know, ochres and yellows and like, yeah, you know, kind of all the earth tones you ever want.
Also, the morphology of this is my job now.
Please.
The morphology of it's very beautiful too. It's got sort of this madrone-esque sort of sprawling, yes, spirally thing. Going on.
It's not near as tall as madrone though, so you gotta get up close to see it and be like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Like you can't just be walking from afar and be like, oh, whatever, I can see it from here. You gotta get up close. You gotta see it because they're not huge. They're medium sized to small trees. And you have to walk right up next to them and then be like, wow.
Yeah, beautiful twisty limbs. I always love that.
Exactly. Me too. And there's a couple trees that can grow like this. One that I think of is the strawberry tree, which is related to the madrone, in fact, Arbutus annuo, and it also kind of has those really like sinewy looking stems that look old when they're really small because they're so like wrinkly and large.
Yeah.
But they're large for being a small tree, which is always kind of a weird thing to say. Like, you know, you see a rhododendron and you're like, oh my God, that's a huge rhododendron. It's dwarfed by every other tree that's like 5 years old.
Right. It's big for a shrub.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is kind of big for a small tree is what we're looking at.
I see.
But yeah, it is. It's just like, it's got this really interesting bark, which is also very apple-like. Apple, if you get a nice older apple, it develops bark kind of similar to this.
Okay.
But less colorful, more just like different shades of gray.
It's definitely an old soul tree.
Feels like it.
It's got elements that I'm like, this tree is... little and looks really young.
Yeah.
But it's got features of like an old, beautiful tree.
It does. I think that's perfect. That's the exact way to look at it. High class. You can find this on pottery, any dump in ancient Rome. Also, Alex, have you noticed the flowers?
Yes, they're also very dogwood-like.
They are. A lot of people actually plant quince for the flowers.
Really?
Specifically. Yeah, because, as we'll get into, the fruit is not eaten near as much as it used to be, especially in more northern climes, where, in fact, it's eaten very rarely as just a pop it off the tree, have a scarf.
Yeah.
They tend to be very, very sour fruit. But the flowers come out, and they grow on the new growth, which is kind of an interesting thing. Usually, more commonly, I should say, if you are planting a any kind of thing, and you're going to prune it so that it has new growth next year, does something next year, during the summertime, a plant will put on all the buds for its next growing season.
Right.
Usually, that includes next year's flower buds. Not the quince. The quince has zero flower buds on it the previous summer.
Oh, wow.
The new growth that starts the very spring, that is the stuff that then will go whoop and put out the flowers.
Okay. So it's not a long-term investor. It's just making stuff as it goes.
Yeah, it kind of does. And that makes it so you can prune the heck out of it in the wintertime, and then next year it'll have full blooms. Instead of like an apple will set its flower buds year before. So if you prune it in the wintertime, you could be cutting off all the flowers and all the apples that you could have in the future. Not so the quince.
I have a word about, you said they're not eating much, especially in northern climes.
Yes.
I have a theory about this.
Please tell me.
Well, the fruits grow and are ripen in the fall, early winter, right?
Yeah.
So in order for a fruit to ripen and be delicious, it needs time on its plant.
On the vine.
Right.
Yeah.
So in before the frost sets in.
Exactly.
So they're probably picked early in those northern climes, so they're bitter and shitty. That's
exactly right.
But if you let them mature,
yes, quite.
They're going to probably have a completely different flavor.
Oh my God, Alex, you're so spot on. Like I cannot your finger is literally in the keyhole. It's exactly
dun, dun,
it.
Dun, dun. Oh, it's on the pulse.
Yeah, it's on the pulse. Thank you.
In the keyhole.
I was trying to think of a good metaphor and I couldn't come up with anything. This is a metaphor heavy episode.
You nailed it, Casey.
Thank you. I nailed it with my finger right on the head of the nail. It does. And that's actually the thing. We should forget everything else we could have even talked about. The quince fruit
is
out of this world. So it looks like what you would imagine a pear is, but it is a pear that looks like it has the same thing that the humpback of Notre Dame had.
It is a pear wearing, it is an apple wearing a pear's clothing.
That's a great example.
Or an apple wearing a pear costume.
Either one. A book that I read about it this morning specifically called Apples and Pears, Kissing Cousins to the quince. So in this case, basically what we're saying is apples, pears, and quince are just almost exactly the same thing. They're very, very closely related. They're the same kind of fruit. They are a pome, P-O-M-E, and they also share the same kind of morphology. Like they have this kind of awkward, lumpy, knobbly pear shape to them, which looks like a pear, but also is just not pear-like enough that you'll be like, that's certainly a pear. You'll be like, man, that's the most messed up pear I've ever seen.
It's like a pear you don't trust.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's totally it.
It's got kind of a muscular look to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kind of looks like a pear that you've like injected with a little bit of like hormone to make it like, you know, let's get your pear.
It's a little roided.
It's a roided? Yeah, this is a roided pear.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, it's like this kind of like a very, very light yellow green as it starts to really get mature. Mm-hmm. As it matures, it becomes this kind of like dark yellow, and it just becomes more and more of a thorough yellow color.
Yeah.
And it has this very, very light dusting of pubescent hairs on it. So it kind of is covered in fuzz, like what you'd think a peach is like. And it smells divine.
Wow.
I can't express to you, this is the best smelling fruit I've ever smelled.
That's a huge statement, Casey.
It's amazing. I actually took some when, like, last year, the year before, I found one and I just picked it and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to keep it. And I just set it, like, in my kitchen just to smell it all the time.
Wow.
I didn't eat it because you have to do this, you know, a huge amount of preparation to get it to actually be edible. If you, like, you can't just pick it and eat it like an apple or a pear.
Why not?
You actually, it's way too astringent up here in our northern clime.
Oh.
Just like you're saying, if you were growing it in its native area, which we should note is from this area, Turkmenistan, Iran, Turkestan, which is a part of Kazakhstan, all those lower areas is where it grows really well. And kind of like these lower plains that's a little bit hotter, where historically, before people started breeding, apples did not grow. But the quince did grow. So if we're thinking thousands and thousands of years ago, let's say 5,000 or 6,000 years ago, and you're living in this area, you were planting and growing and eating quince, not apples.
I'd like to say, before we move into the meat.
Oh, please. Here, yes.
Because that's where I feel like we're moving.
Almost. I just wanted to tell everyone where it was from.
Okay.
Where, crew.
I want to say a word about the pubescence.
Oh, please,
Of this fruit. The immature, the adolescent fruit,
Yes.
Is so hairy.
It is. It's, it looks like a little, like a, like a little, little fuzzy ball.
Yes. Yeah. It, it's got so much fucking fur on it. As the fruit matures, it loses that and it becomes more of like peach fuzz.
Yeah.
But those brand new fruit are so fucking hairy.
They are. They're just like little, yeah. You can like rub it.
Is that, I mean, evolutionarily, is that to protect from the elements?
You know, I really am not 100% sure.
I'm thinking of it in the same way that hair protects mammals, right?
Yeah. It might help. A lot of times hairiness in the floral world is a means of helping to keep moisture close to whatever it is.
Okay.
So that might be a thing, but I also think I feel like this is mostly not necessary because it's not grown in a place that requires a lot of heat.
Yeah.
So I really don't know. That's a very good question.
It might be one of those outdated evolutionary things that was never like worked out of the gene pool.
Yeah, it's like, who cares? It's not causing any trouble, so it's just kind of stayed along.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of leaves do the same thing where when they're very young, they have a lot of pubescence on them. And then as they mature, that kind of goes away.
Okay.
So I don't know 100% where that comes from. I'll have to look
curious.
Into this.
Yeah.
Very curious, yeah. So Alex, we have to touch on something that I think is extremely important here, which is specifically the name of our plant. Now, this goes back a long ways. Are you familiar with Cydonia?
I know the Knights.
You better know the Knights of Cydonia. God, that's such a good... I have shown that music video to several people recently who had never seen it, and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
It's a classic. It's extremely cool.
We're gonna put it on our show notes. It's one of the best music videos of all time.
My musical tastes have changed a lot.
Sure.
My taste in general.
Mm-hmm.
Muse is almost like hilariously dramatic now, you know?
That's awesome.
I used to think they were fucking cool, and now I'm like, oh boy.
These guys, I love them still. I think it's so good. I think it's just so good. They are larger than life.
Yes, and that's true.
That's what I love about it.
I guess that's their thing.
Yeah. He also has a very specific way of singing, like the way the guy writes all of his songs. Mm-hmm. So it's like, blah,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Like it's very like everything is really drawn out, like an opera. Like there's no, he doesn't ever say things fast, you know, where he's like, ba da da ba da ba da da da. Like his lyrics are very like paintbrushes.
Yeah.
Strokes.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it, Case. Yeah,
thank you. So I got bad news though. This is not the Cydonia that we're talking about.
Well, it's unfortunate.
I know, it's very unfortunate. It actually, Cydonia is a city that's on the north shore of the island of Crete, which is now known as Chania.
North Shore?
That is actually the same name for Quince and for Cydonia. Cydonia oblonga is the scientific name. That comes from Cydonia being the place that these were named after, probably by the Romans initially. But it actually goes from the scientific name and the common name come from like ancient, what was it? It comes from ancient French, and then from there from ancient Latin, and then from there from ancient Greek. And it all is different versions of like Cydonia or Cydonia malum, which is like the Cydonian apple, which is a very important thing to remember that I just said that.
Okay.
So it actually has like this this really fun like history of the name just kind of changing as the language changed.
Yeah.
But they both come from the same exact thing initially from way back in ancient Latin and ancient Greece.
What come from the same thing?
Cydonia.
And Quince. Oh, so they're like the same word that split off a really long time ago?
Yeah, because they would name it basically the apple of Cydonia.
Okay.
And so then that would be what they then soon called the French term. Quince is the French plural of this other word.
Oh.
So now the single is what we use. So now we use quince as the single and the plural, or I think, oh, give me some of those quince. Also, I could say, give me that quince.
I see.
So it comes from this long line of words just from, you know, essentially all the old languages that mixed together way back when.
Very cool.
So, it's a tree. Like we said, it's from the cradle of civilization, according to Western ideas of what civilization means, which these days essentially means the Middle East and like the Eastern Mediterranean.
Mesopotamia.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And it would grow very well in what the Romans called Mesopotamia, the place between these two big rivers. So that is essentially Iran and Turkmenistan and like these low valleys where they would initially create all sorts of, you know, different kinds of agriculture. Mm. This is one of those trees that was grown and planted in this area and then slowly but surely moved over to this land called Crete. And now when the Romans found it, they're like, oh yes, it's the apple from Crete. And they just would call it that.
I see. That's very Western centric of them.
It's very Western centric. Those Romans, who would have thought? So it ends up being this, this thing that thousands of years ago was way more known than anything that we now call today the apple.
Mm.
So do you remember, I think we've touched on this a few times. Right now, we have this thing called corn. When I say corn, it's a very specific thing in your brain.
Yes.
It is not generic at all. Way back when, corn was actually a generic term for any kind of small grain.
Sure.
So we ended up kind of taking that name and applying it to a very specific thing, and then everything else also got their own name other than grain. Now, grain is the, you know, generic term.
Mm-hmm.
Apple is a good analogous to corn.
Okay, where apple was a word that was used to apply to maybe pears, quince.
Yes, it was
other pomes.
It was essentially the term for the apple and the quince and any other kind of foreign fruit is what they would call it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I know that, you know, scholars of, like, theologians, scholars of the Bible specifically will say that when the Bible says apple or whatever, like the new translation, what that really means is fruit.
Alex, I'm so happy you said that.
Oh, is this a transition accidentally?
That is a perfect transition.
you had a wonderful smile on your face as I was saying
that. Because I was waiting for what you're going to say. Oh my God. Okay, this is the thing. So again, let's reiterate. The mountains of Kazakhstan, that is where the apple comes from.
Yeah.
In the genus that we call today, Malus.
Okay.
M-A-L-U-S.
Damn straight.
Now, you would grow the apple. It became very popular over time, but 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, it was not popular. When the Bible was written, when the ancient Greeks were doing their ancient Greek thing, apples, even if they were known, they would just be some weird foreign fruit that every now and then found its way into a market.
The quinces of modern day.
Exactly. The quince was the, oh yeah, everyone knows what that is. It grows everywhere. We plant it all over the place. Everyone eats it. Then down in that warmer area where you have like these nice hot summers, the quince will actually get to full maturity on the tree and you can pick it off and eat it, and has this very sweet taste. It's not astringent at all. So now, at this point in time, when the Bible was being written, they would be using a term that the Greeks used. Rather, there was this Greek term that was used called melon, M-E-L-O-N.
Okay.
That described apples, it described quince, and all these other weird fruit.
But not melons?
Not melons at this point. Maybe they did, maybe it was, but it was just any foreign fruit was melon. It was a generic term.
Okay. It was a noun?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And melon and malus, malum, all come from the same root.
Wow.
So that's where all the trickiness kind of starts to come in. So today, it means something very specific. Malus means apple. Apple is a very specific kind of fruit that everyone is usually quite familiar with. A is for apple. As they say.
B is for banana, of which I just ate one.
Yeah, you get it. Anyway.
We took a short break and I ate a banana.
Yeah, we did.
It was delicious.
So here's the fun thing, and this is where I'm gonna lay out my argument here.
I love when you do this. Let's hear it.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Alex. Mythologically and historically speaking,
Casey is Picarding with his fingers.
Yes, I am. It helps center my thoughts. And get me where I need to go.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. My fingers are still together, so I'm still centered.
After you, Captain.
Yes, thank you, Mustache Man. What's
Riker?
Riker,
Commander.
He's got to go two. Go up. He's got to go T.
He's got three of them. He's got to go three.
He's got to go three. All right, Riker. Thank you. Now, when we reference apples, Alex, specifically in all the literature, they say golden apples.
Is that the case?
That's the case. Not all the literature, but in almost all the literature.
Golden apples.
Golden apples. So when we think about this, We take it literally. Mm. We're like, oh yes, a golden apple. Because if something's golden, it's important, it's special, it's fancy. You can't just get it anywhere.
I like where you're going.
But an apple is, in this case, not referring to an apple. It is the generic term translated years later through the term malice or malum or melon, all the way through to now what it means today. So we translate and say, whatever the word is for golden and malum, oh, it's golden apple. Oh, it was a golden apple. And we today have this idea of apples as a fruit. Great. It's an ancient fruit. We've been using it for a long time. And it was the fruit that was golden. So it has like this special, like, oh, like imagine a painting with golden apples. Yeah, you know?
Sure.
It's very, very,
very fairy tale-esque.
Exactly.
Mythology-esque.
It's so full of this.
Mythological.
And this is the thing. When all these things were written, the golden apple was talking about the golden apple from Cydonia.
The quince.
Hell exactly. Yeah, dog.
Let me give you some examples.
Let's hear it.
This is the Trojan War, and this is coming from a wonderful, the history of quince that I found.
Oh.
And it's a really, really thorough kind of review of all this and just kind of lays it all out.
Wow, somebody wrote that.
Somebody wrote that. I think it's an extract from a larger book. It's actually kind of hard to see, but we have a link to it in the show notes
on the website.
Thank you. So, Eris is the Greek goddess of strife, and in a foolish miscalculation, she was the only god not invited to the wedding of Peleus and Thetis.
Oh boy.
Now you all know what happens next. Understandably furious, which I love. It's like, oh yeah, totally. You're pissed.
I'd be pissed too.
Yeah. Why would you not invite the Greek goddess of strife and foolish,
your wedding?
You know, and like, you know, things like that? Yeah. You should do it.
The goddess of divorce wasn't invited to our wedding.
Oh, well, great. Yeah. So, of course, that made everyone very upset. She barged into the wedding ceremony and threw down a fruit inscribed for the most beautiful. So, the fruit is described in this as a golden apple.
Mm.
A golden apple is a quince. Also, it's at a wedding. Quinces were the traditional things for weddings because of this story. And because way back when, we didn't have as much hygiene as maybe you would expect that we should.
Yeah.
And because, remember how I was telling you quince smelled so good?
Mm-hmm.
When you cut it and like roasted it, it also got like ruby red.
Ooh.
Like the flesh kind of just got really dark red. That was all signs of like sexuality and fertility.
Sure.
And things like that. So it started, again, with this story also, it had this mythos of having, you know, everything to do with love and fertility and that kind of thing. And when you smell it, it smells so good. Were they like, oh, well, this must freshen your breath, and you rub it under your armpits and you smell better. So it was like this. It was like this whole thing to make you feel beautiful and fresh for your wedding.
In that order, please.
In that order. Take a bite, rub it in your armpit. Take another bite, rub it in your other armpit. So this golden apple was certainly a quince. Now, Hera, Athena, and Aphrodite each claimed the fruit because, of course, remember, it said for the most beautiful. So all three of these Greek goddesses were like, oh, yeah, that's me. Thank you.
Sure.
Please give me my quince. To which the other said, yeah, right. That's mine.
This is a classic setup.
Classic.
I feel like
it
I've
is.
Read this so many times.
Oh my God. It's so good, isn't it? So of course, then Zeus was like, I got to settle this. Everyone's upset. So he picked Paris of the famous house of in Troy. I don't actually know his house. What's his last name? Do you know?
France.
Yeah, Paris, France. So Paris got the unenviable task of choosing which of the three of these Greek goddesses was in fact the most beautiful, to whom the quince would be, you know, awarded.
This is a lose-lose for Paris.
Yeah, a lose-lose.
There's no right
and
answer
a win.
Here.
Yeah, so there's, well, yeah, actually, this is kind of the fun thing. So Hera offered him empire. Athena guaranteed military glory because, of course, she's the militaristic of the goddesses.
That's right.
And Aphrodite promised him the most beautiful woman in the world.
Oh.
At the time, Alex, do you know who the most beautiful woman in the world was?
Helen?
Helen of Troy.
Wow.
So Helen, sadly for Paris, at the time was already married to Menelaus of Troy.
Okay.
So Paris was like, Yeah, that sounds great. You're going to give me Helen of Troy? It sounds delightful. Oh, then Paris gave the fruit to Aphrodite. Aphrodite, in turn, helped him win Helen, thereby sparking the Trojan War and destroying his entire house.
Wow.
Paris, gone. And his brother, gone.
That's what you get for treating a woman like a trophy.
Yeah, so anyway, the main result, of course, is that the quince has been regarded as Aphrodite's fruit.
I see.
So now it was given by Paris to her. She is the most beautiful. And it was like, and Aphrodite is the goddess of love and fertility and all these things. So it was the thing for love and marriage and all these things. So after this, it became the traditional fruit to have with your minces. You had your quinces at your wedding if you are an owl and a pussy. This is not where it ends, Alex.
You really missed a great opportunity.
Oh,
there.
Oh God, what did I miss?
To say hobbitses.
Oh, I should have.
Your minces and your quinces with your hobbitses at your hobbitses wedding.
Yeah, okay, I was gonna say, are we eating the hobbitses at our wedding?
No, we were at a hobbit wedding. Imagine a hobbit wedding.
That would be a lot of fun.
Holy shit.
Yeah, how much beer do you think they consume at one of those weddings? Sam can drink like a whole thing.
So if there's like maybe 300 attendees.
Yeah.
And they have normal size barrels. Uh-huh. Or do they have hobbit size barrels?
I bet you they'd be hobbit sized.
Yeah.
So maybe like 3 gallons or something. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, hobbit size barrels, 300 attendees. Yeah. I'm going to say,
I think one barrel per attendee.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. God, that's what I think.
They'd fucking kill them.
Maybe like per three.
I'm going to say 100 barrels.
Okay.
Would
yeah.
cover that.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. Great. So 100 barrel wedding.
They're little guys. I mean, they're
yeah, but they can slam down that llama.
They can throw
spread,
it
like,
back.
Business.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, right. Alex, the next place that we're going is not, in fact, a wedding at all. It's related to Hercules.
Hercules?
Yes. Well, if you're Roman, isn't it Hercules? If you're Greek, it's Hercules, or is it
Heracles?
Opposite? Heracles.
Roman's Heracles, I believe.
Okay. No, thank you.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
All right. Well, do you recall his 11th labor, Hercules?
Was it to give birth?
No, it was not to give birth this time. The 11th labor is he had to go get the golden apples from the Hesperides, I think is how you say this.
Oh.
Sorry if I'm saying it wrong. It looks like it's just spelled Hesperides, but I think it's Hesperides.
Yes.
It's like the three nymphs.
That's right, yeah.
So he had to go do it. It's in this garden that had this big wall around it. And it was Hera's garden, I think. And she planted a quince tree right in the very middle. And it was putting out golden apples. Now, again, in our modern telling of this story, we imagine some fantastical tree that was sprouting golden apples. And everyone's like, well, of course, the god Hera would have golden apples growing.
Right.
But at the time, when we're telling these stories, we wouldn't come up with some fantastical new kind of plant. We would just use the cool one that's most sought after and delicious and smells good that Hera would hoard in the middle of her garden that all these gorgeous young fertile nymphs would be around.
There's a quince tree in Hera's garden.
There's a quince tree. The apples are literally what they called golden apples back then.
Wow.
Like they just say, oh, golden fruit. And that is what Hercules.
I don't think Hercules is.
I don't think that you have any actual idea, Alex. As I look up and see your book of Greek myths. You're probably right.
There's no pronunciations in there.
Oh, there's not. Oh, that's great.
I don't
Perfect.
So.
Well, that's the golden apples. It wasn't some fantastical tree that produces apples that are golden of some kind.
Yeah.
They were literally quince.
Wow, Casey.
And the last one to which you referenced earlier.
What did I reference earlier?
You referenced the story of Genesis written by
God. As transcribed by whomever.
It is transcribed by King James.
Mm.
So you did note, and we have talked about this before. We talked about the quintessential apple that was plucked by Eve that was then provided to Adam, and the fall of man precipitated
thereafter.
Yes.
Can I go back 1 second?
Yeah.
Quintessential.
Oh, Alex, I should have known. Quintessential.
Did you see my eyebrows go up?
Did. Quintessential. It's hard to say.
Quintessential.
Quintessential.
Yeah.
Thank you. So you call the story, don't you? Yes.
Yes. Why don't I you know, I haven't read the Bible or any part of it since middle school. So why don't you go? Why don't you take this one?
Well, the quick version.
I wish Louis was here. Louis has a degree in biblical studies.
Oh, that would be that'd be perfect.
He'd be the guy to talk to.
Yeah, yeah. Send us a message, Louis. We want to hear it. We'll dub it in.
We love you, Lou.
So here's the real quick and easy thing is that there was this tree that had the forbidden fruit on it. You were not allowed to eat it. It was the tree, and this is very important, of good and evil.
Yes.
So it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mm. Now, the Latin for good and evil is bonum and malum. M-A-L-U-M. Now, in the Middle East, in biblical times, there's been confusion between the Latin words of malum, or rather malum, an apple, and malum, an evil. Literally, the spelling is exactly the same, except the A in apple has a line over the top of it, which I think that maybe is malum.
Yeah, it means it's a long vowel.
Yeah, and then for evil has a little U on the top of it, which I think makes it malum. So malum versus malum.
Wow.
Now, we've, as time has gone down, we've started to writing those the same, M-A-U-L-M.
Sure.
So a malum is an apple. It also is an evil. So evil and apple got put together. But apple, Alex, is a generic term. So back then, it was probably an evil that was also an apple that is also generally a general term for something that is not, in fact, an actual apple, because you may not know this, when this section of the Bible was written, as we've noted before, the apple, A-P-P-L-E, that grows from Kazakhstan, was not known to these people who wrote it in Jerusalem.
Therefore,
it must be a different thing.
Like
a quince.
Casey, this feels like groundbreaking news.
Should we
use this episode when we apply for our Webby?
I think we should, yeah. Everyone's going to be like, oh my God. So there's no, you know, very specifically, the fruit is not actually identified. They just say they picked the fruit from the tree of good and evil. And the good, bonum, evil, malum, malice, apple. That's how we've begun to say, oh, it must be an apple. And now we have all this imagery of this woman, Eve, picking a fruit that she would have picked and been like, what the hell is this? Like, it is nonsensical.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go. You have the Trojan War. You have Aphrodite's fruit. You have Hercules finding these things. You find this whole thing in history. And everyone thinks that back then it is as it is today, where the most common thing that everyone loves are apples. Back then, they didn't exist. It's just this mistranslation over thousands of years of a generic term that has become a specific term that means something that back then it didn't mean.
This is huge.
Now everyone thinks that the apple has played this massive role in history when in fact, it's our long-lost Jon Snow of fruit, the quince.
I'm going to save the bulk of my opinion here for my review after the break.
I think that's fair.
But I want to say something.
Please.
This, I feel like Gandalf right now. I know we talked about Game of Thrones. I'm mixing in a little Lord of Rings.
Well, we did talk. Yeah, we got a little bit of Hobbit in there.
I just said Lord of Rings.
Yeah, Lord of Rings.
Game of Thrones, Lord of Rings. You know when Gandalf goes to the Citadel?
Yeah.
To learn up on the One Ring.
Yeah.
And he discovers that Frodo is in possession of the One Ring.
Yeah.
That's a bit how I feel as a tree podcaster, discovering that the quince is actually a part of all these stories when this whole time we thought it was an apple.
We thought it was an apple.
And with that, we'll send it to a break, but we will be right back with our review of the mighty, mighty quince.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. That was our discussion of the Quints.
The poor thing. The poor thing.
What a wild story, Case. And, you know, as we do every episode, we're going to give this bad boy a review.
I think we sure should.
Here's how it works. We're going to give some final thoughts on this fruit tree, this misunderstood genius.
Yeah.
This legend that has been erased from history.
Exactly.
And then give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden poems of honor for our Treasons Eating series. Casey, as our resident theologian.
Ah, thank you.
We will begin with you.
I have one more story I'd like to provide.
Is this a part of your review?
It is. This is a story that comes from the Greek poet Callimachus.
Okay.
Specifically, this is an epitome of this, which is not the actual whole poem. I believe that's lost. This is just the epitome of it.
Okay.
So it goes like this. Seeing his beloved in the courtyard of the temple of Aphrodite, Aconteus plucks a quince from the orchard of Aphrodite, inscribes in its skin, and furtively rolls it at the feet of her illiterate nurse, whose curiosity is piqued, so she picks it up. However, she's illiterate. So she hands it to the girl, Aconteus's beloved. And she reads it aloud. The girl finds herself saying, quote, "I swear by Aphrodite that I will marry Aconteus." And a vow thus spoken in the goddess's Temenos cannot be broken.
Idiot says what?
It's that she basically got tricked. Isn't that so good? Idiot says what? Yes, it's exactly it. Oh, wow. My God. So, so she ended up having to marry Aconteus because that fruit was so, so intensely had to do with sex and love and all these different things. So it's the metaphor of the quince is so intense. And when you actually pull that thing off when it's ripe and you smell it, you don't even need to like taste it. You just have it and you're like, oh my God, it totally makes sense. Like if you get an apple and you smell an apple, it doesn't smell like anything. If you cut it and then you smell it, yeah, okay, then you can get some, you know, some flavor, right?
You're talking the outside of the fruit.
The actual outside of the fruit. You just pull it off the tree, you pull it down from the tree and you just smell it. You don't even have to take it off the tree. It's insane, Alex.
Wow.
So that makes so much more sense as to like you take the apple out of everything and you put the quince in and all of a sudden all of the mechanics work correctly. It's like it fits in every single thing that you read that says anything about apples or golden apples or anything like that from way back when. So the quince as a tree, so full of mythic history, forgotten.
Yeah.
It is barely there. If you look it up and you Google it, you can find things about it, you know. But way back when, they would give it to you during your wedding. You would eat it if you're trying to get sexy before your lady comes over. You would roll it into courtyards and trick servants to giving it to their beloved so you can, you know, and get them.
You know, even when you Google quince, the first thing that comes up is like a brand called quince.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, I bet you that wouldn't happen with apple.
Yeah, exactly. See, so apple, this is why I use Jon Snow as a metaphor.
The joke is that it would, because apple is a huge brand.
What? Oh, dude, Alex, you gotta forgive me sometimes.
I literally winks at you.
I know, but I thought you were just making a specific comment, being that apples are so well known that it... Damn it. My brain just thought you were talking about apples this whole time. I didn't.
All right.
I missed that entirely.
Continue.
Like that didn't even go over my head. That smashed on my face.
Fair enough. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
So, go get fine. I forgive you.
Wait a minute.
So as it happens, the quince as a tree, underplanted. I think everyone should be planting them because they can grow like trees, but they're not really, really, really intense trees. So you can have a small little thing. Not to mention, did you know that most pears today that we call pyrus pears actually are grown on quince rootstock?
I did know this.
So all of a sudden, you get even more of a shit deal for them, where they used to be the thing. Yeah. Everyone was like, oh, I'm going to get married. I better get a quince.
Pears just standing on the shoulders of giants.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And no one knows it. No one even cares. No one even pays attention.
Wow.
No one even knows where it came from. So I have a big spot in my heart for the quince. Yeah. I think it's a delightful, delightful little teeny tiny tree. I think it should be in every Hera's garden, every Aphrodite's garden, and every your garden. I think it's a delightful tree, even if you don't pick it and eat it, because you have to do a whole bunch of you basically turn it into like this jelly. They call it cheese of quince.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's like this, it looks like a big thing of gelatin, and you would like cut it up into squares and then like eat it.
Okay.
Or you make it into like preserves and jams and jellies.
Sure.
But you have to add in all the sugar because when we pick them up here, they're just not that good.
Okay.
So if you're in the like Southern California, the Mediterranean, and you get an opportunity, you should totally plant a quince. If you're up here, you consider planting a quince. If you're in a more northern clime, because they smell so good as a tree. Honestly, it's kind of not that great important as a tree. As a mythological thing that grows a fruit, high marks.
Yeah.
High marks. So, because I'm true to myself as a theologian, I'm going to give it a 7.5. As a dendrologist, 6.1.
Ooh.
I know. It's not really a tree. It's not a great tree. It's underplanted. It should be planted. It's not going to cover your house. It's not going to be really great, but it's going to grow these little things, and it can be a fruit tree that grows fruit, but not because you have to eat the fruit. You can grow it because it's cool to have a mythical tree growing in your yard next to other bigger trees. So, I think, Alex, I can tell by your silence you're upset. I'm going to rate this tree a mix between my dendrological 6.1 and my theological 7.5 and give it a 7.4. Right.
Perfect
in the middle.
Average. 7.4 golden poems of honor.
7.4. Now, I hear in your voice that you're upset with that.
A tiny bit, but your poems are your own.
Thank you. And remember, there's a bunch of people out there who hate me because of how I feel about apples. So this is going to be an even worse day for them, and I'm sorry.
If I have some solace, it's that I get to give my review now.
Yes, this is the most important thing. Alex, as our resident expert on all things mythic, what do you think about the golden apple? I should note, whenever I now say golden apple, there's a hyphen.
Oh, wow.
That's how we're solving this problem.
Very good.
Alex is getting up. He's walking. Now, he looks pacing. He looks like he's got a really intense something's weighing on him. Like, if this was a Quentin Tarantino movie, he'd come over and punch me, or he'd shoot me from right there. I hope he doesn't do that. Oh, God. Okay, it's fine. It was just a finger. He's sitting down. He's breathing. You can hear this. He put his headphones on backwards.
The quince. I love a mythological tree.
Okay.
Two of my favorite trees that we've covered on this show are the pomegranate.
Yeah.
And the hawthorn.
Yes.
Both are very closely related to myth and magic.
Yep.
I love myth and magic. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that the quince was sort of this underground, like this rat king, you know, this buried legend.
Yeah. You had to like dust it off. What is this? The Quince?
Quinky? And as we were telling all these stories, I'm like, holy shit, this is like up there with the pomegranate.
Yeah.
And I believe I gave the pomegranate 10 golden cones of honor.
I don't think you did.
I gave it in the nines.
Then. You gave it a high score for sure.
I would be totally untrue to myself to not give the quince a comparative score.
Wow.
And since I think there's a lot of things at play, the mythology, the magic, the sort of underdog aspect, which I love, love an underdog.
Yeah.
It's sort of unpaid dues, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you mean like...
Like it deserves a reputation and it currently has none. And Casey, this is our last episode of 2022.
Sis, that's right.
And I kind of feel like using my executive power and going out with a bang... I'm going to give the quince 10 golden poems of honor.
You're kidding me.
I am not kidding you.
Alex, I am blown away.
Yeah, there you go.
I had no idea that you could even feel this way.
I feel this way.
Even that, I'm speechless.
It's true. And I'll tell you this too. You give it an arborist score that's lower than your sort of like cultural score, you know?
Okay.
I give it an arborist score right up there. It's a beautiful little tree. It looks like a dogwood, but it grows a delicious legendary fruit.
Okay.
It's got beautiful little white flowers.
Oh my God.
It's got stewardia bark. It's got madrone twists and curves.
It's true.
Look at her. She's curvy.
It's true. It's
you know what I'm saying?
I do. I know
this
what you're
thing
saying.
Is a hit.
I feel you.
What the fuck
are
you thinking?
It's, you know what, Alex, you're right. I feel you here. And I have to stick with it. I know.
I'm not trying to get you to revise your score. Listen,
I'm going to take it.
Oh, you're such a hero.
Thank you. I am. Everyone, I'm doing this for you, for everyone else in the world who's like not a 10.
I don't care.
I am stunned. I think you've given 10s to at least 3 or 4 different fruit trees.
This has got to be one of them. I love fruit.
This is chocolate and peach. And then now the quince
and the mango.
The mango. Yeah. That is, we know we're starting to get some actual data here with knowing how we score things. That is,
you can see what's 10.0. Important to me.
You can see what's important to each of us.
Chocolate and fruit.
Chocolate. Oh my God.
Yeah. There you go. 10 golden poems of honor.
10
proudly. I give it my stump of approval.
You sing it, Alex.
Yeah. The once and future queen. Casey, that was our review of the quince. It's time for a game. This is a new one.
Let's do it.
For our last episode of the year, we have a fun new game that I think should be kind of cool. This game is called First Tree, Last Tree. Here's how it works. I will name a tree, either scientific or common.
Okay.
You will then take the last letter of that tree, of that tree's name.
Okay.
And think of a tree that begins with that letter.
Yes. Okay.
I will then take the last letter of that tree and think of a tree that begins with that letter.
I see.
And we'll just go back and forth kind of at a good, as fast as we can.
Okay.
And see how long we can go naming these trees.
All right. I'm going to try to do scientific names.
Well, that's fine. But you can also use common if it comes
down
to it.
All right.
I'll probably
good.
Use mostly common.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. I just thought about it. Like, how can I really challenge myself? But I think this game is going to be challenging nonetheless.
I think so too, Case.
All right. Alex, give me 30 seconds on the clock.
We're not going to set a timer.
Damn.
Here we go, Casey. Okay. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
My first tree.
Okay.
Dogwood.
I'm going to say... Dios Pyros Virginiana.
I am going to say Arborvita.
That ends with an E, which is going to be an elm.
Malice.
Malice. Okay, S. I'm not supposed to say that, am I? Shagbark Hickory.
Yellow Pine.
English... Laurel.
Lodgepole pine.
Oh. European beech.
Hickory.
Oh, okay.
Let me think of a different one. You already said hickory.
I said shagbark hickory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hickory.
Okay. Is there anyone screaming out there being like, this one?
Yeah.
I bet you there are. Okay. You.
White bark pine.
Oh, okay. All right. All these E's are really hard.
Yeah,
Alex.
Sorry.
Okay. E.
European larch?
I already said European beech. Can I use European over
tree.
Again?
Yeah,
European
of course.
European larch. Hell yeah.
All right.
Scratch that from the record.
Oh, no. Another H.
Okay. Yeah, this is really stretching my brain right now.
Himalayan short bark.
That's not a tree.
All right. I lose that round.
Wow. Okay. All right. One for me. Shit. This is hard. We can't use any of those same trees.
Okay. Now you all start.
Right, I got to think of an E. That's what I really need is to think of at least one more E thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of E's for pine.
Yeah, exactly. All right. All right. I am going to start with Camiciparis lawsoniana.
Apple.
All right.
Which is different from malice.
It's different from malice. That is true. I'm going to say English hawthorn. Did I already say that?
That's, it ends with an E or an N?
N.
Can you think of an N?
An N? Notholithocarpus densiflorus.
Well, the okay.
Tan bark.
Or, I can't do that.
Tan oak.
N.
N.
Northern white pine.
Wow. I don't think that quite counts, but I'll give it to you.
Why?
There's an eastern and a western, but not a northern and a southern.
Northern. Oh, northern. Isn't there a northern something?
Yeah, there is.
Northern white cedar.
Northern white cedar. All right, that's fine.
Isn't that
we would say eastern white cedar,
I think.
But northern, either way, I think works. I'm fine with that.
All right, northern white cedar.
Okay, like white cedar. Ends with an R. Rhamnus persiana.
All these A's.
Yeah, it's a buckthorn.
Atlas cedar.
Yeah! All right. S, that ends with an R as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. Rainbow wood.
Wow.
Hey, there we go.
Very good. D. Deodar cedar.
Oh, man. All right. Do you think we can get all the cedars?
Probably.
Okay. Didn't you already say Himalayan? You might have.
That was a made-up tree.
Oh, what? Himalayan cedar? No, yeah. It wasn't. That's a real tree.
No, I said Himalayan, like, something.
Shore pine. Oh, yeah, short
yeah,
bark.
Something.
It's a short bark pine.
Yeah, that's how I lost the last round.
Okay, all right.
Deodar cedar.
Deodar cedar. Okay, it's an R. That's going to be a Royal Stewardia.
Royal Stewardia?
I don't know if that's a real one.
You lose this round.
Fuck, come on. How did I lose that? Royal? Isn't there Royal something? Ooh, Paulownia? I think that's like Royal Paulownia. Okay. Oh, shoot. All right.
All right, my turn. My turn to start. 1-1. First 1-2 rounds wins.
It is Royal Paulownia. What a fool.
Close. Case.
Okay, first one to win two. Okay, so this is it. This is for all the marbles.
Yep.
This is universe point.
Japanese maple.
Japanese maple. Okay, this is going to be a... European white birch.
Nice. H again. Hesperidia. Is that a genus?
No.
What am I thinking?
That is the name of a fruit. Hesperidian uh-huh. is the like an orange or a some kind of fruit that has that big husk on the outside.
Horse chestnut.
That counts. Horse chestnut. Suga.
Wow.
Chinensis.
I roll my eyes at you, sir.
Please.
Chinensis.
Yes.
Sugar maple.
Oh, okay. With another E.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay. We're gonna do this. E is for
cookie.
English walnut. Yes.
Nice. Texas Hold'em. Casey, you win first tree, last tree.
Honestly, that was way harder than I expected. Like,
yeah, it's hard to think on the spot like that. Well, that was a good first try at that new game.
Yeah, it's
we'll
very
have to play
curious.
It more in the new year. Yeah, I would love to do it again that. With a different category.
Oh yeah,
you know, like tree terms or something.
Ooh, that'd be hard.
Ugh. Scottish botanists.
Oh God. Oh geez.
Well, that was first tree, last tree, Casey. I would like to introduce a new tradition.
Oh my gosh,
this is a surprise to you.
Okay, yeah.
Instead of doing a Q&A,
okay,
this being our very last episode of the year,
okay,
I would like to do a short reflection and projection into the next year.
All right.
How you think this year went for Completely Arbitrary and what you're looking forward to next year. And I'd like to make this tradition every last episode of the year.
I see. All right. Well, starting today, a lot of times my crews would call this a rosebud thorn.
Yes, right.
So, yes, we can do a rose family flower, a cydonia flower. Thorn, bud. I think
perfect comedic timing.
Thank you. I am brilliant, they say.
So, what do you think, Case? What was your rose this year? Your thorn, and what do you think is going to be your rose next year?
Well, I think my rose this year, I think certainly must be the road trip in the adventure that I was lucky enough to be able to go on in the earlier spring.
Oh yes,
that was something I've never been able to do.
That was huge.
Being someone who works for a living, but then you and I creating the show gave me the opportunity to discuss with you this possibility, and you were gracious enough to say, I will support you on this. Let's make it happen. And that was spectacular. I spent, just over 2 months driving around, doing a bunch of cool things.
Yeah.
And you kept the home front cooking. And we had used a lot of our time before that to put together all the shows through that.
Mm-hmm.
That was really great. I thought that was something really special. Not a lot of people can do that. And so it's nice to be able to, you know how some people start working and doing something and then they kind of like complain that they're doing something, but them working their new job means they can't do something else. Or
yeah,
maybe someone always says they want to do something but never actually do it, even if they have the opportunity.
Yeah.
This was a situation where it was like, we've made this opportunity for ourselves. I must take it.
Mm-hmm.
And we took it. And I've never done something like that. I would really love to do something like that again sometime.
Yeah, I was very happy for you that you got to do that finally.
So I think that for me was certainly my quince flower.
Yeah. Oh, your quince flower.
Thank you.
What about your
my quince thorn?
Rose family thorn.
Yes, my rose family thorn.
Your umbrella thorn.
Yes, I should note that the quince is in the rose family, of course. It is, I think the thorn this year would be, I feel like growing pains might be the best term for it, where you and I have put a lot of effort into, building up what is essentially a small business, selling things and getting things moving forward, which has been really great. But I think the issue with that is that we don't know what we're doing. So we're trying to learn, and we're reaching out to our networks and trying to become a really, really solid program, and trying to put out a bunch of stuff. And it's just been a bumpy road, I think, trying to really get ourselves to that next level and find, well, what works for us, what works for you guys, what does everyone want to hear, what do we have the bandwidth to produce, and all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so we're working on that still to this day. And I think that would be the thorn, which I don't know. That's not really a bad thorn. It's just, growing pains of trying to be successful at doing your passion and, make that something that you can do sustainably.
Yeah.
That's what I think. That's something that we've had a lot of, not trouble, but it's been a big thing that we're constantly working on. And it'd be nice to be past that.
I would call that like the balance between what we want to do and what we can do.
Yeah, I think that's
what
fair.
What we know how to do.
Yeah, and we're just at a point where we could either like double down and go really hard or kind of stay at where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both of us are trying to think about how to double down, but we're also kind of like, but doubling down means so much more work that I may not be able to do all the time. So it's nice to be able to have that, you know, be able to move there, and but also be able to say no if we need to. But I think we don't want to say no.
No.
We want to like keep going these things. So it's also a lot of trouble trying to learn what it is to be, you know, a successful artist, you know, and, you know, how do I get out to all of you people out there listening? How do I get other completely arbitrary things out in the world without being a publisher, without having, you know, all the skills in the world? I know trees really well, Alex. This podcast wouldn't exist without you knowing all those other things that make shows happen, you know? So it's just figuring out what I can do, what I can't, what you can, and what we need to do to have other good people come and help us.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, we're working on it. My bud is getting to the other side of that.
Yeah.
Next year, we've put a lot of things in place that are just starting to pay dividends. And I don't mean this in a, we've been investing in a strict sense, but in the metaphorical sense where we have been investing in what we can do in the future in terms of systems and getting things in place and trying to come up with new ideas and kind of new media to put out. And so I'm really looking forward to that. I think we're at a good jumping off point.
Yeah, for sure we are. And I hope it's not too much. I mean, maybe we shouldn't even say this, but there is a particularly big pulsating bud.
Yeah.
That you and I are very excited about right now that could lead to pretty incredible things.
Exactly.
For you, for me, for this podcast. But we don't, obviously, we don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, we'll tell you when it actually happens.
Yeah, if and when it happens, but it's a big deal. And
it's a big deal.
That would be my bud as well, Casey. That big bud.
Yeah.
And you know the one I'm talking about.
I know the one you're talking about.
Are we doing personal Rosenthorn or business Rosenthorn?
I guess,
arbitrary Rosenthorn.
Arbitrary. Okay. You know, this was related to the podcast specifically,
yes, for me.
But okay. You can do either. I don't mind.
So my arbitrary rose this year, it is a joy and a privilege and an honor to have a job that allows me to do a bunch of other stuff too. Mm-hmm. You feel the same way.
I do.
To be given the time to like make music mostly and have a social life and a romantic life.
Oh.
Just saying.
Wow.
Humble brag.
I have like six lives.
I'm almost a cat. It's just like, I feel so fortunate and grateful for the life that you and I have built for ourselves.
Yeah, it is really nice.
It's great. That's my rose. It's just that continued thing.
The continued support and community of, you know, being able to do this and other things.
Of course, yeah. I mean, we owe it literally all to anybody who's listening to this. But, you know, you and I did a lot. You and I have worked really hard for this.
Yeah, we really have.
My thorn was probably... I think I don't want to just ape you, but I think that the growing pains are we both have felt them a lot. Uh-huh. There's so much that we don't know and that confuses us, you know? Mm-hmm. And we don't necessarily, I mean, you can Google anything, but also like you can't get every question answered from Google.
Yeah. Also there's 6,000 answers to every question.
Yeah.
So you never know which one is the best.
Yeah. For you, you know, and I think that's part of what we're learning is that there is no formula for this. Mm-hmm. It's like, we kind of have to make our own answers for a lot of this stuff.
I think he's right.
So my bud is that big, cool, exciting opportunity that we possibly have coming up.
Yeah.
That you and I are very excited about. And I just want to say, I hope this is okay to say, my personal rose this year, besides making my EP, is meeting my partner, Lily.
Oh, that's perfect to say.
She's just the most wonderful person in the world.
That's a fantastic rose to have.
Yes.
Quince flower.
Wait, what is that song? I compare you to a kiss from a rose on the grave.
Anyway, this has been completely arbitrary. Thanks.
What a way to end the year.
Sing us out, Alex. Sing us out. Damn it. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
It'll be coming in mere days.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening and being so supportive and giving Casey and I a platform to bullshit about trees and sharing with your friends. That's like hugely important, and people you know and social media and all that shit. And just having our backs.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the best way to describe it. Yeah. You guys have been there this whole time. You will be there at the next turn, and we will also be there, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
So if you guys, each of this show, or personally, have a Rosebud Thorn, send it our way.
Yeah.
ArbitraryPod@gmail.com. Best place to find us.
And we hope you look forward to a full new year of this show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we already spent our bonus episode when we were all sick, so there's no break. You get a brand new episode starting at the very beginning of the year.
Thank you so much for listening to this year of Completely Arbitrary. We'll see you next year. Bye.
Au revoir. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.